Whether you're a geek, a gamer, a TV or movie enthusiast, a modeler, a tabletop wargamer, or any of the above, welcome to Gamer Lives. Cool. Welcome again to Gamer Lives with Josh, and we've got one of our many co-hosts who wants to grace the airwaves with his fun anecdotes and stories of butt sharks. It is the great, the wonderful, the man, the myth, the whatever you want to call it, Thomas Heffernan. How are we, Tommy?
Well, mate, and I prefer War God, but that's fine.
Well, you can just, you know, shove it where the sun don't shine. Speaking of which, it's not shining that's at okay. the moment. It's not shining. It's nighttime.
Yeah, funny that. You know, it's like dark half the day, mate. It's not a mystery. I understand.
Yeah, this is true. I tell you what, the mysteries of everything just come out and really make things a bit fun, don't they?
Yeah. Like, here's a mystery for you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know how sometimes something just absolutely awesome happens in the world, like France making lightsaber dueling a thing?
Yes. And it's amazing.
Isn't it? And then while you sit there going, geez, that's awesome, you also hear how Australia banned zombie knives.
Well, that's exactly right. We're going to talk about those two in depth. So we'll start with the first one because obviously we want to start on a high note because we both like Star Wars, I'm assuming.
Everyone loves Star Wars.
Hell yeah.
It's a standard thing. You need oxygen, food, sleep, and Star Wars.
That's exactly right. And yeah. So what do we got here? This is from The Guardian. This was only published on the 19th of February, and we are recording on the 23rd, so only a 4-day late.
You heard it here first.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's now easier than ever in France to act out Star Wars fantasies. The Country Fencing Federation has officially recognized lightsaber dueling as a competitive sport, granting the weapon from George Lucas's space saga the same status as the foil, épée, and saber, the traditional blades used at the Olympics. You know, I did foil and épée combat while I was in university.
Oh, really? So was that just like with the knitting needles, or did you actually have a sword?
No, it was the knitting needles.
Yeah,
That's all we're allowed.
Yeah. So you played around like Little Women. That's fine. I'm not judging you.
No. It's an entry into the fun part that is Star Wars. Speaking of which, so my first year at university was when Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, came out.
And right. So
the year later, Nick Park, one of the head choreographers of the lightsaber dueling in Episode 1, 2, and 3, he came to our, Tasmanian Fencing Federation, and we had a bit of fun doing that.
Okay, that's actually pretty metal. I feel bad now about making fun of you.
Okay, good. Feel bad, because I want you to. Okay, so it says here, of course, the LED-lit rigid polycarbonate replicas can't slice an opponent in half. People haven't tried hard enough, if you don't ask me. But they look and sound remarkably like the blades that Yoda and other characters wield in the blockbuster movies. Now, I don't know about you. I'm impressed that they've decided to use Yoda instead of someone like Luke Skywalker or Obi-Wan Kenobi. In that particular paragraph there.
I'm impressed that they took the time to say, don't worry, you're not going to get sliced in half. That's what sticks out to me.
That's exactly right. But again, they're not trying hard enough.
No, that's right.
Yeah. The physicality of the lightsaber combat is part of the reason why the French Fencing Federation is now equipping fencing clubs with lightsabers and training would-be lightsaber instructors. Like virtuous Jedi Knights, the Federation sees itself as combating a dark side. That is a weird word. The sedentary? Yeah, that's weird. Sedentary habits of 21st century life. That makes sense. I don't know about... Okay, people really haven't seen my face on social media for this podcast, but I'm not the most fit person in the world. And, Tom, let's be honest. You're not either, are you?
Still kick the crap out of you, mate. Just putting it out there.
Let's be honest.
All right,
is that really a thing, though?
I'll put it this way. If I was allowed to fight with lightsabers in high school, I would probably be a couple of size down in the pants.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And that's you got to think, like, my 4-year-old, Alex, I got a replica of Darth Vader's lightsaber. And the first thing he did was take it off my hands and ran around the backyard with it.
See, that's metal. But so here's a question I have about the whole lightsaber thing. right?
Yeah.
Like, you remember seeing, like, the YouTube videos of the really well-choreographed fight scenes, and it's like a competition-level kind of job?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what they're going to try and go for, if they're actually going to go for, like, the proper forms. Because you know how there's, like different lightsaber forms?
Yeah, yeah, no. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
What I think's going to happen is they're going to do... It's going to be a mixture of fencing and kendo. That's what I think.
See, that's less cool.
No, not really, though. Have you ever watched a kendo fight? Like a legit, like, master kendo fight?
Yeah, no, but, you know, we have a thing for kendo. It's called kendo.
No, but like, I'm saying, like, mixing... Because you got to remember, like, the lightsaber forms were all derivative of different other, like, modern-day and historical sword-fighting techniques.
Yeah, no, I get that, but all I'm trying to say is I think if it's going to go that way, it's going to water down the art.
Well, here's what it says. It says, combatants fight inside a circle marked in tape on the floor. Strikes to the head or body are worth 5 points, to the arms or legs 3 points, on hands 1 point. The winner is the first to reach 15 points, or if they don't get there quickly, the fighter with the highest score after 3 minutes is the victor. If both fighters reach 10 points, the bout enters a sudden death stage in which the first to land a body or head blow wins.
Okay, that's actually pretty cool. So it's probably fine. It's not like the display thing, because I'm going into this pretty blind.
Well, you got to think about like how they did it in the books when they were training the Padawan Jedi before they were younglings. They became Padawans when they became an apprentice. If I believe in the there was a book about Obi-Wan Kenobi before he became Qui-Gon Jinn's apprentice. It was essentially like right before that moment where he became the apprentice, because Qui-Gon Jinn just went, you know what, mate? No, I'm not going to be your master. You can go farm. And at the start of that book, Obi-Wan Kenobi is just a brutal little brat in the ring, and it's essentially the same thing. They're in a circle with toned down lightsabers, so they're hurting them, but they're not cutting things, and it's the same sort of point system, roughly.
All right, so what you're saying is this is going to cause the rise of Darth Vader?
No, I'm saying it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's going to
Obi-Wan Kenobi, they can't be Vader. It's just
It's going to cause great nomads in the desert looking after young men. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, right. I had something, but I don't think it's PG.
Leave it there. To be honest, I'm pretty stoked with it. Like, I don't know, I love recreational sword fighting. Well, I should know, because it's you and you walk around your house with a sword, a foam one at that, but I've seen other things that you walk around with your house and it scares the crap out of me.
Well, look, first of all, in my defense, it's only to defend against zombies and or other mythical creatures that might attack.
Okay, that's a question I have, right? Okay, we've talked about the news now. Let's talk about something. At the moment, we've got 5 minutes until we go to our first break. Now, right. This is the thing that's really, really grinding both my gears. I thought you were joking when you first told me about this, but then when I did some more research, like the UK has done this, and apparently Canada is on its way of doing it too, which is weird because they are Canada's weird anyway. So it says New South Wales will ban all zombie knives by the end of the month, and owners of these lethal weapons must hand them to police by then.
See, automatically I dislike how that's worded.
Yeah, it's like...
Lethal weapons. Like, all right, so why are these knives any more lethal than a machete or a kitchen knife or baseball bat?
Here's what it says. Zombie knives have multi-edged blades with images, words, or markings on them suggesting they are intended to be used for violence. New South Wales Police Minister Troy Grant says they have been used in serious crimes in other jurisdictions, who gives a crap, and are sold online in the state. These knives have the potential to cause significant harm to people if used in criminal activity. And there's also a huge risk of accidents by those using them as props or toys, Police Minister Troy Grant said in a statement on Saturday. From February 28th, it will be an offence to have an unauthorised possession of or to buy or sell of these knives without a proper permit. Now, here's my question, okay? I have in my possession a number of replicas from a certain fantasy movie that were used to kill said mythical creatures. They don't have bright handles, but they are double-edged. They are not... what's the word? They're not sharp, but they have the potential to be sharp. But they're replica swords that could be mistaken for historical swords.
The answer is yes, they are zombie knives now.
Yeah, but where? How can you tell the difference?
Oh, well, because it's very clearly written out. A zombie knife is a zombie knife or other device that has multiple edged blades, including a serrated section of blade, and is, oh no, scary looking, I guess, because that's just how Australia bans things. Here's the big thing, right? The zombie knife is literally anything that looks scary.
Yeah, it looks scary, but...
That's the definition.
Yeah, but like, so does a Roman gladius. If someone's running at me with a shiny piece of steel...
Yeah, that's a zombie
I don't
knife.
Have one. So a Roman gladius, okay?
Yes.
A gladius. It is not designed for killing mythical creatures.
No, yes. this is the thing. All right, so I'm just looking at now. So it's is advertised or otherwise made available for sale using images or words that suggest the knife or device is intended to be used for violence, whether actual or threatened, against a person or fictional creature, such as a zombie. It's like, yeah, righto, idiots.
No, that's exactly right. It is idiotic. Now, Australia is the only Western country that has the sport of airsoft banned. It's illegal here. We are the only... New South Wales is one of three states in this country that has banned and made illegal gel ball blasters.
Well, have you thought of the children?
Yeah, what about the children?
Like, think of how much fun they could be having.
I know.
We can't have that.
Now, but what is legal is I can go now. I can go down to my friendly local gaming store and order a bow and arrow that I can shoot at another person.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Okay, that's not illegal, but that could cause more harm than a gel ball blaster.
Well, look, like, not to minimise this, but I was looking on Facebook the other day, and I literally saw a post by the New South Wales Police Force about a driver who was disqualified, hopped in a car, had an accident, killed the two passengers with her. And the only thing I can think is, well, yeah, she's a criminal. Like, that is a thing. Like... You're making these laws to stop criminals from hurting criminals? Or you're making this law to stop criminals from hurting other people?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, they might have the best interest in heart, okay? They might have the country's best interest. They might have...
No, but see, I get that. But, like, the point is, if these things aren't there, then it's going to be, okay, I'm just going to use a kitchen knife or a baseball bat. That's or, once again, no. My car.
Or a board with a nail in it.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't fix the problem, and it's just stupid. I think it was like 48 incidents in the last year involving knives. They don't specify if it's a zombie knife, but it's just stupid nonsense like that that makes you go, I really wish we had some American sensibility. And I do not say that ever.
Oh, mate, you say that. We're going to end up having our own red-headed man in charge. And I don't mean a man, I mean Pauline Hanson. But
that's a line I'm not willing to cross.
No, I don't think any of it. Like, she's good where she's at right now. She says the things that
start... Out of sight, out of mind?
No, well, she says the things that start the conversation, which is fine. I like having a conversation, and I know bloody well you love having a nice heated discussion on the old books or faces. And that's the thing. There are people in politics that are required to be there to start these conversations. But... we don't need them to lead the country. And at the same time, people like Scott Morrison, Bill Shorten, I don't think they're right to lead the country either.
No, well, see, there's very few people out there that are right to lead the country. I should be. I have the right ideas.
So
right
do I.
Personality. Well, look, hang on. Like, maybe a 2IC under me, but, you know, like, let's not get ahead of yourself, mate. Like... This is taking a turn. I've lost control of the conversation.
Yeah, you've lost control of the conversation. We're going to come back to you guys in a second. Here's a word from one of our great friends at Wargaming Recon.
What is Wargaming Recon?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
3,000 miles from home, an American army is fighting for you.
We today have concluded an agreement to end the war and bring peace with honor in Vietnam.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base.
Historical Wargaming for your ears, only at wargamingforums.com.
Oh, the humanity.
All right, thank you for all of that, Johnny Boy. We're so glad your computer's back together and that you're able to create this longest-running tabletop wargaming podcast that is out there. I think it's fantastic. I think that's a really good accomplishment. What do you reckon, Tom?
Oh, mate, it's definitely a feather in your cap. Oh, mate, I didn't even know his computer was out.
Oh, so, no. Well, he's been posting up on social medias, but...
I've seen that. I thought it was just, like, gone for a week, that, wasn't it?
Oh, mate, it was totally trashed, the poor thing. But, no, he's back to it, and I think I'll be editing another episode for him next week. I think that's just the next one coming up. So,
any idea what it's on?
No, I never do. I just get an email saying, it's out, can you edit? And I edit it, and I send it back.
What good are you, mate? You're meant to be in the know.
Well, he sometimes asks me my opinion on things.
Yeah, see, this is the point where I should say it's also not a cheeky plug. I was just curious.
No, that's it. It's not a cheeky plug because, as I said, I've had a lot to do with Wargaming Retro now for the past. How old's Alex? 5 years. 5 years now. I've had something to do with Wargaming Recon.
Yeah, whoa.
I know.
That's getting on, man.
Mate, that just woke me up.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Oh, man. It is.
I can't believe his computer went on for like 5 years without failing. That's nuts.
Oh, I know. Oh, it's a Mac. That's what it is. So.
Yeah, well, that's why it's impressive. Like, you know, those things, you know, a little bit of moisture in the air. If it's raining outside, you're guaranteed to fry the circuits.
Just saying, we're running on a 2014 Mac Mini that's been up-spec to the Yang right now.
Yeah, held together by coarse words and the Emperor's prayers.
Hey, when has that ever failed?
No, well, it doesn't, mate. It holds the whole world together. That's universe,
exactly,
even.
That's exactly right. And you know what else holds the world together, Tom?
Duct tape.
That and subscription boxes.
Excellent.
It was a good segue, wasn't it?
Brilliant reaction.
So, what I've got going on right now, Tom, I am the proud recipient of the Loot Gaming Loot Crate by lootcrate.com. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like it's got gaming stuff that you looted.
Oh, hell yeah. You know what I got? Yeah,
are there crates involved?
Well, they're boxes. They're not actual crates. But...
Well, that's false advertising.
I know, but there's cool stuff in it.
No, mate, you got to draw a line somewhere.
No, but seriously. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We'll go first. I'm going to tell you what I got.
Right,
first off the rank, right? Now, you like... here we go. Claptrap says, relax, well done minion t-shirt.
I do like me some Claptrap. Claptrap's bloody hilarious.
So I've got that shirt right there. It's a nice brown colour. As Deadpool says, he chose to wear the brown pants. I know, that was bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the Claptrap shirt, which is I love me my geek shirts.
You even played the games?
I've played the first one and the second one.
That's all you need. They're all, like, once you play the first one, they're all the same.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, here's a game that I haven't played, but I'm also now the proud Mona. That's what she said. The proud owner of a coffee mug, which is The Last of Us.
Awesome, awesome game.
Yes. I'm actually drinking my water right now out of our Foxhound Special Forces class, which is fantastic. Just saying.
So something's telling me that this isn't the first time you've got one of these crates, then.
This is my fifth one.
Fifth one, that good,
mate. They're fantastic. I'm very tempted to subscribe. It's not a subscription. They got one coming out next month. It's Star Wars, and you get a crab load of gear in it. But it's a specialty once-off crate.
Oh, look, as if you're not going to, Shoerish. Let's be honest here.
Let's be honest. I'm not finished though. What I get in this box? You ready for some more?
Yeah, right, let's go.
I have, from the game Rage 2, Speed Up Goon Crossing. It's a tin sign. I might put it on my driveway. It's a metal sign, so it's a legit metal sign, which is, you know, I think it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, but it can only end well if you do. Like, you have to, mate. Like, it's not even an option now.
No.
You've made a commitment to the listeners.
Now, Tom, tell me, Fallout. What are your thoughts on Fallout?
Which one?
Any of them.
Bloody brilliant. Love the entire series. Even 76, and I know that's controversial, but with enough mates and beer, it's brilliant.
Now tell me, the Nuka-Cola battle suit. Have you seen that one?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, I am the proud owner of a 12-inch figurine of the Nuka-Cola battle suit.
Is it like a little bobblehead thing, or...? Explain it. Like, paint a picture for me.
So, it is what it is. It's a figurine. So, it's a 12-inch tall figurine. It's pre-painted, made out of resin, has its own base. I can't really explain much. It just...
Oh, so it's like one of those figures you sometimes get with the special editions of games.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, it says on the box, Fallout Nuka-Cola Red Power Armor.
See, something like that would have been really good with 76 instead of, you know, plastic bags and really bad rum.
It is what it is, mate. Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I know.
Come at me, Bethesda. I'll fight you IRL.
You can't use that language.
Just did.
You know, that just made me think of something, right? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay, you ready? You ready? So, Frozone is more powerful than Elsa. So, you know who Elsa is from... what do you call it, from Frozen? I think that's the name of the song.
No, I have a mental blank on all Disney movies going 2000 forward, because that's when I stopped being a child.
Okay, well, stop being a dick.
A lot harder than it sounds.
I'm aware of that. But okay, so but you know who Frozone is, yeah?
Nah, no idea.
Have you not seen The Incredibles?
Maybe?
Oh my!
Is that the one with the big dude with the bad back?
Yeah.
I vaguely remember it.
And the guy who does the ice, who's voiced by Samuel Jackson.
Honey, where's my super suit? That guy?
Yes, that guy.
Love that guy. He's awesome.
Okay,
yeah.
So Elsa is a princess with the same powers as Frozone. Okay, that's all you need to know.
Frozone.
Frozone. That's the name. That's his superhero name.
That is amazing. How did I not know that?
I know. I am surprised. Okay, so Frozone is more powerful than Elsa because Frozone can use the N-word.
Ah. Okay.
Oh, mate. Oh, that's awesome. That's funny. Your reaction was perfect for that.
Yeah, well, it's a thing.
That's it. So,
like, I was expecting a man woman joke, but you took it in a different direction, and it's stunned. It's stunned.
Well, jokes that stun are usually they're better.
Oh.
They're better.
Oh, mate, I'm a stunned mullet right now. I've got no response.
But it's true.
Yeah, righto, champ.
Tell me any different. There.
Actually, here's one for you.
Okay.
So, just think about it, right? So, Elsa's whole thing is, I don't know, she's feeling sad or some nonsense, and she has snow around her. Is that like, vaguely right?
Yeah, pretty much. She has powers to manipulate ice and snow and whatnot.
Well, just like women, she's like, yeah, right.
No. But also, she can create sentient life out of snowmen.
Are you serious?
Hell yeah.
That sounds incredible.
I know.
Like, why did the movie suck so bad then?
Well, box office records say it didn't.
Yeah, but Jordan Peterson says it did, so... Who's right? It's definitely not box office sales.
No, the yeah, okay. Well, okay, no, I'm going to agree with you on it because I thoroughly enjoyed Solo. Solo was a great movie, yet box office said no.
Yeah, but box office often says no.
Box office sucks.
See, here's the thing, right? Like, I don't like movies in general.
No, because they're not animated.
No, they're not animated. Like, well, no, it's just cartoons, man. Cartoons are the best. Like, come on. But I'm super excited for Mandalorian, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's an actual series, you know? The Star Wars, The Clone Wars, where you can actually dive into the lore and develop the characters.
Oh, Clone Wars, the new series, when that comes out, it's going to be boss.
Oh, man, Clone Wars in general is boss. Like, that series is awesome. I can watch that for days. Young Justice, again, you know, like, a series of superhero stuff. You get so much more out of that because of the pacing and the actual character development than you do in a movie. The movies, they're doomed to fail because they're just too short for what they are. You pump so many millions of dollars or whatever it is into them to get rubbish where you've put, you know, half of that into a series and you get pure gold.
That's exactly right. That's it.
No?
Yeah, well, that's it. That, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And like, one of the things that they come out this week is on the table is they've scrapped the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. Instead, what they're going to do is a 6-part miniseries.
Yes, mate. See, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And so, and it's not just the Mandalorian we've got coming out. We've got the Mandalorian, we've got the Cassian Andor series, which will be, I think, will be fantastic. We get to see where K2SO comes from, and they'll have the bloke who did his voice. What's his name? I've gone blank. Yeah, we all know. The guy from Firefly.
The dude that played Mal? Was that him?
Oh, what else is he?
That's the only dude from Firefly I know, because that character was amazing.
What was the actor for that? Hold on. I'm doing it too. I can't believe I've forgotten this guy's name. He's sci-fi royalty. K2SO. Actor is... Alan Tudyk. Sorry, that is so bad of me. My apologies. So Alan Tudyk hopefully will be coming to reprise his role as K2SO, which will be fantastic, because they've already got the actor who played Cassian Andor to come on and do it, sign up for an entire series, which is going to be awesome. Apparently,
yeah, right.
Mandalorian's almost wrapped shooting.
Well, I heard they wrapped it last week, actually.
Yeah, it was something I heard. It was around those lines, which is fantastic that they're actually... It's not just, here's a photo of some production art. It's, no, we've been doing it, and you guys are going to love it. It's... If you think about it... Yes, go.
Onto the Mandalorian thing. Didn't someone jump onto their lot and flog all their props?
You know, there was something there. Apparently someone got on there, flogged a bunch of props. They caught them, apparently.
They did. Yeah. That was going to be my question, because I remember hearing about it, then I was like, oh, that's a tragedy, and just never looked into it.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Someone's got the kindness to go off and go, all right, mate, want me a Mando helmet. That'll be awesome.
Look, if they're not charged as being a space pirate, that is the true crime.
But exactly. That is exactly right. If they're not, they need to be charged as a space pirate.
Also, that is absolutely what my new title should be now. I've grown cold on War God.
That's it. All right, I'll just pause there for a minute and we will come back after this. 2 days between the break, 2 seconds for you guys. Welcome back, Tom. Thanks again for sitting down with me and having this chat. What's new in the last 2 days?
Well, little known fact, I haven't actually left my computer room because it's just super comfy at the moment. It's like real chill environment. So, well, no, it has to be back.
Oh, yeah, no, that's it. That's exactly right. You don't really have to do anything. Just go, oh, the Skype's calling. Here we go.
Oh, that's right. Thank you very much.
So, where we left off, we were talking about the Mandalorian TV set, and then we got rudely interrupted by someone walking into the studio, and by the studio, I mean my lounge room.
secure studio and all that kind of good stuff, yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. You gotta be where the gear is.
Mate, professionalism. We pride ourselves on it.
Well, you know what's funny? Like, speaking of professionalism in audio work, like, as you know, and a few people know, I've got a degree in audio and light engineering, and I worked for a theatre and I worked in radio, and I've done a lot of live concerts, as in live mixing and that sort of thing, not playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You never mentioned?
No, I never mentioned. So stuff you. last night we watched the biopic on Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. And there's a bit in it where how they recorded their first album. This is like back in the 70s, and how experimental they got with creating music, creating sound in the studio environment, which is amazing. And then when they were recording their second album, they were doing it in a barn with carpet on the walls for deafening of sound.
Are you serious?
I'm dead set serious.
That is... See, I find that hard to believe, man, because, like, they are one of the all-time great bands, you know? Like, everyone likes Queen, and if you don't, you're lying to both yourself and everyone around you.
That's exactly right.
And it's just what you just wouldn't have picked it, is all I'm getting at. Like, you know, you assume there's a shit ton of money behind them to prop them up to where they were, but if they're doing it at the back of the barn, mate, I mean, what's your excuse?
Well, it was a big thing with the song Bohemian Rhapsody being... was it 7 minutes, 6 to 7 minutes long? I think it's 6 minutes long. And back in the day, the formatting for radio was 3 minutes for songs. That's what it was.
Yeah, the whole pop thing.
Yeah. And so everyone was like, no, we're not playing this. We're not playing this. And everyone's like, but it's a good jam. And they're like, nah, too long. It's too long. So they didn't really, they had the backing of a major recording studio, but they didn't have... I think all the money was going into the recording film instead of the other technology that's required for it.
Right, so that was just like concentrating on the video aspects of it.
No. Like, so recording film back in the day, reel-to-reel recording, was and still is expensive. And so especially when they were doing the Galileo part of Bohemian Rhapsody, I can't remember which band member it was singing. It was the drummer. They had him constantly backtracking on their audio. So they were essentially, they'd record a line, replay the tape, and then play and then record over the top of it. So creating these layered effect. And they did it like 30 something times with him progressively getting higher pitched. And they're like, all right, next bit then. And the poor bastard was just like, I can't do it higher. And Freddie's just going, no, you need to do it higher, love. And so he just seeing them do it. And another movie that was made back in, I think it was the late 80s, on Buddy Holly. Same thing. Buddy Holly was actually one of the pioneers of backtracking and overlaying on his recording. And this is the technology that I've studied, that I know a lot about. And just,
all right, well, hang on, just real quick. So, assume you're talking to a 3-year-old here, because that's about my level of understanding.
Yes,
we're talking like one of those big keyboard-looking things where you're mixing stuff up.
That's the mixer, that's where the sound goes through.
Yeah, this is the stuff they were pioneering, or...?
They were pioneering how it was being recorded. So, like playing around with putting things on a microphone and making stupid noises, or the tape itself. So imagine, like, you know...
Actually, I'll go catch up just there, because you know what was really cool back in the day when they were doing all the sounds at the same time? Like, you know, like when it was first a thing? Yeah. I remember watching a doco like well back in the day, and this dude just had like a shit ton of toys on his desk, like rattles and like snakes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And as they were performing, he like rattled it around. It was like a TV show, like, you know, like a late night comedy show. They're just like rattling along as they're doing their gags.
Are you talking about say they were doing an audio drama, and it's like, and now the Mask of Zorro is riding his horse down the thing, and then they've got some coconuts doing...
Yeah, they're doing the coconut thing.
Yeah, essentially like that. So let's go to another audio geeky pioneer, and that's, what's his name now? I've gone blank. Ben Burtt. He was the sound engineer and sound designer of all of the sound effects in Star Wars.
No, that name can't be real.
I'm going to Google it now, because I'm going to make sure I'm telling the right story. Okay, so who was the sound engineer for Star Wars?
I'm just always iffy about, like, the alliteration. Ben Burtt, like, two Bs? Nah, mate, that's a myth.
Hold on, no. Sound designer Ben Burtt. I was correct.
So you could just be lying to me, but I just don't care enough to look it up. So I'll take your word.
Yeah, well, you can look it up, you can shut up and all that stuff. But he created, like, some of the most iconic sound effects just by...
Oh, is this the dude that came across the Darth Vader breathing thing just by playing around with a diving...
Yes, he put a microphone into a regulator of a scuba diver.
See, I remember this from a MythBusters show where they were talking about all the cool stuff he was doing, and they were just like they had a little anecdote here. He's like at a cocktail party or whatever, and he's just playing with all the things there to see what sounds they make.
Yeah, well, do you know where they got the sound for the blaster fire?
No, but I do know the Wilhelm scream.
Yeah, the Wilhelm scream. Yeah, everyone knows that. But yeah. this will blow your mind. What he did, he went to... So they've got in LA where they were filming the movies, there's a lot of high voltage electricity lines that go along the countryside there. And they have... So when you see these big, tall, high voltage power lines, these poles are being tensioned to the ground three ways... with these high tension steel cables, like these like half inch steel cables. And these are so tense. So what he did, he went up to these things and he put the microphone right on the actual, like a stethoscope microphone, right on the cable, got a hammer and hit it.
Yeah, right.
That is how we have the blaster sound.
Yeah, you know, anyone else, you'd look at that and go, that guy's off his meds. But in this case, you create a masterpiece.
Well, R2-D2, another really good one, is him making baby noises put through a synthesizer.
Are you serious?
I am dead set serious.
That is brilliant, and I love it. Oh, man.
Another thing, get the lightsaber sound, like the hum, is he had it was like a radio antenna. In a really old crappy TV that was a fire hazard, and was just, he would take this antenna that was pumping out electricity and just put it near the TV, and the TV would just go wong wong.
Yeah, right. Because I always thought it was had to do like, you know, the fluorescent lights.
No,
like, you know,
no.
The crazy things you learn.
Chewbacca is a mixture of bear, lion, and walrus.
How good's that?
I know.
It's like just another contribution of the noble walrus.
That's exactly right. And this is where I think as geeks we look at. I did it in the last episode, which was the public service announcement of what a geek actually is, and actually went through the psychology of the geek and how we look at things a lot differently than everyone else does. Like we can look at something and go like. We're the only subculture that will look at the insides of the polystyrene packaging of a TV and go, you know what? That's McCrag right there, brother.
Well, yeah, but that's... mate, like, if you're a nerd, you look at something, you're thinking, yeah, that's a Warhammer thing. But my father-in-law, who's an engineer, he'll look at something and go, you know what? We can make, I don't know, a trebuchet out of this, which he did one day, which is also really cool.
Oh, yeah, because your dad was boss.
Yeah, well, he is. Man, he's an absolute dude. Like, I was sitting there talking to him the other day, and he was like, oh, we should make a little trebuchet one day just to sling some golf balls on the course. And he's like, oh, yeah, that could be fun. So I go home, wake up, come over the next day to mow his lawns, and he's like, oh, Tom, check this out. I made an 8-foot trebuchet so we can go throw some golf balls. And I've gone, mate, that's a fair bit bigger than what I was thinking. What were you hoping to get with that? And he's like, oh, I'm hoping we'll get at least 100 metres. But if... Yeah, he's like, if we don't, we'll just chuck some more weight on it, see what happens. Yeah, he's an evil scientist, I've just figured out.
There's nothing wrong with evil scientists.
No, but it should have taken me longer to figure that, is all I'm saying. Like, there's nothing but old electronics and weaponry in his shed, so...
Well, here's a question I'll pose to you.
Sure.
In history, when has a normal person made their mark in history? A normal person. An everyday, nothing weird about them person.
The bloke that assassinated Archduke Ferdinand.
No, he was weird because he was a member of a secret society, the Black Hand.
He wasn't weird. He was a freedom fighter, mate, trying to free his country. There's nothing weird about it. That's everyday person.
He ate a sandwich before killing him.
All right. What's his name? Off the top of your head, what's his name?
Gravilla Princep.
I'm impressed, man. I couldn't think of that. Like, that's an everyday bloke that's completely changed the world.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say he's like, everyday. But do you... So,
called your bluff, champ. Called your bluff. Come at me.
Your mum.
Ow.
I know.
Some things when said cannot be unsaid, Shoebridge. Watch yourself, mate.
No, I agree with you on that. And just because we're Aussies and because we're both of the same political mindset, Peter, stuff you.
Oh, too bloody right. What's the go with having a go at Irwin?
I know. And that's just not on. And
here's a couple of quick facts about Peter. They fund terrorism. They kill every single animal they get their bloody hands on. And they're a pack of ugly feminists. There is no redeeming facts about them, mate.
Oh.
You like that one?
It was the last comment that got me. Well, like, I agree with you on yes, I agree with you. And when we say feminist, let's not get to the point where we believe wholeheartedly in equality for every human being, as long as they earn it. Okay,
there's no earn it. Look, see, here's the thing, right? Equality of opportunity. Yes, guaranteed, absolute fact. I'm an egalitarian, mate.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, what your race is, what your sex is. If you can do the job and you've got the qualifications, go nuts. What a feminist is in the very bloody name, mate. A feminist, you're pushing forward the feminist movement. And let's make some distinctions here. The first wave, absolutely bloody necessary.
That's exactly
the second
right.
wave, kind of debatable. This new wave of feminism, mate, go get your jellies off somewhere else. Like, you're fucking useless. Admit it. Oops, sorry, lads.
I'll beat that. Oh, no, I don't know. I think we can afford one.
Well, look, this is what happens, mate. It just stirs me up. Can't handle it.
Oh, mate, no, I totally get with you, and I agree with you on that. And I don't want to... If you get offended by this, right, just remember this.
We don't care.
Yeah, okay. But shut up. We want equality, and that's it, okay? Yeah. Not anyone better than another person. That doesn't... A third-wave feminist has been... proven to want to have more than what a man does. And then you've got these other people who just want to impress them to make them look like they're, you know, the best just in order to sleep with them. We'll leave that there. Sorry, kiddies. That's your political lessons with Uncle Tom.
Yeah, mate. I can teach you the world.
Which, you know, that reminds me, that comment right there, into the final segment for today. And that is the YouTube channel of the week. And that comment there just reminded me of a character from that show.
Tom. Was it?
Well, we're talking about Screw Attack, which is death battles.
Oh, I do like me some death battles.
And you just, yeah, you remind me of, what's his name? Wiz. No, Boomstick.
Boomstick?
Yes.
That's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Well, don't get used to it.
Nah, I wouldn't dream of it, mate.
No, well, and good. At least you know where you're at. So
I know where I stand. So there you are.
How about you give us a bit of a rundown on what death battles are?
All right, you take two people of similar comparabilities, then explain what there is. Go nuts. How about it? Thank you very much for coming.
I reckon you can do better than that.
All right, so the classic debate, right? Superman or Goku? The answer's Goku. Like, every day of the week, it's Goku. So they got it wrong. But they go through and they go, okay, Goku's bench-pressed three moons or whatever, and Superman can take the sun, all that good stuff. They go into their weaknesses, their strength. Then they pin him in a battle and have a go. Like, that's it. That's all it is. It's fun. It's like 15, 20 minutes, maybe most things. And it's just fun animation.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. One of my favorite ones is Deadpool versus Deathstroke.
Yeah, that was pretty bloody good, actually.
That was pretty mean. What they do, they do Mega Man versus... I've gone blank. Do you remember that one?
Who was it? It was Mega Man versus... No, I've got no idea.
It's a chick from the video game series, and she wears power armor.
I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Well, that's the thing with these sorts of things. They do recycle a lot of verses. Like, it's not like they've done Deadpool versus Deathstroke, and then they did Deadpool versus the pink pony from My Little Pony.
Yeah, that was actually really bloody good.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I think they did Harry Potter versus Luke Skywalker. Guess who won that one?
Samus Aran versus...
That's it, Boba Samus. Fett?
What, Mega Man versus Samus?
Yeah, they did one. I swear they did one. Or am I just thinking of something that I want to happen?
I think you think it's something you want to happen, mate. Like, I'm all for it. Like, you know, get it to happen. That's fine.
Didn't they do Megazord from Transformers? Not from Transformers. From Mighty Morphin Power Rangers versus
the Gundam. Yeah, Epsilon.
Yeah, the third Gundam.
The one from Gundam Wing, like the good Gundam, Gundam series, right?
Yeah,
and it was. Oh, got it. Yeah, I think it's Epsilon.
Yeah,
don't quote me on that.
No. But it's amazing. Like, you can just get your geeks off just watching this stuff, because they do some... Well, they did Joker and... Cracker? No. There was another clown bad person, and I can't remember, who's a complete ripoff of the Joker, but they did that. That was really cool. And
probably a really good one was Red vs. Digimon.
Yeah, that was good.
They had Agumon and Charizard going
it. It was a battle royale, wasn't it?
No. I'm pretty sure this was literally Charizard versus Agumon.
They did a battle royale with Charizard, Pikachu, Squirtle. What's Squirtle's?
Oh yeah, so Squirtle, Blastoise, Charizard, and Bulbasaur.
Yeah,
all three evolved into the final ones, and it was just have a go. Probably the best one, actually, the one that I really liked was Yang from Ruby versus Tifa from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Because they're both boxes, right? So they're like, okay, comparable things. Go watch that one. That's my recommendation. If you haven't seen it and you just feel like vegging out over, you know, fun nerd stuff, that's the ticket, mate.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I have to say, the Superman versus Goku is great. And they did...
They got it wrong.
They probably did. The one I think they got wrong was the Doctor Strange one with the other...
Doctor Strange versus Doctor Fate?
Yeah.
Well, Fate every day of the week.
No.
Yeah? Oh, mate, no. Absolutely.
No way. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. I think what we might have to do is do a bit of a review on a couple of episodes, and we'll do that in a couple of future podcasts, because I reckon this will be fantastic listening.
I can solve this right now, right? Dr. Fate, literally an entity of order versus a sorcerer. Mate, Dr. Fate fights, you know, wicked sorcerers every day of the week. He doesn't care. It's just another villain to him, basically. I know he's a good guy, but...
Strange is the Sorcerer Supreme, who is able to do whatever he bloody well wants to do. He can
Except when Fate intervenes.
No, yeah. Shut up. What he was able to do, and he should have done, in what they neglected to do in the epic death battle... was that he is able to make things just not exist anymore.
Well, so can Nabu, I think.
I don't think so. I know that they can that Strange can move faster than him, though. That was
Here's why their thing's important, because they actually clarify the rules. Like, if we're talking like Superman again, can Superman do his stupid, I'm going to vibrate my molecules really quick and suddenly I'm going to look like someone else, or can he reverse time? No, they go. That's stupid. That's beyond. We're going to
Here are the sources.
Let's go. And
that's because Superman back in the 50s was just like, you know what? Here's a guy with everything.
Yeah, but see, on another side, since Strange comes from the wrong side of the tracks, he's going to lose every day of the week.
Because he's from Marvel?
Yeah, the losers.
Stuff you. They make better movies.
Yeah, of course they make better movies, but DC makes better cartoons. And cartoons,
hell yeah. I am not going to disparage that at all. That is 100% true, and you know my feelings on that. So we're going to wrap this up. Now, last week I asked the geeky question, what geek symbol do you carry around with you at all times? Tom, do you have an answer for that question?
The Emperor's Aquila.
I believe you do. I think I see that on your keychain or your wallet. It's one of the...
On my wallet, man.
Yeah, that's it. I remember where I remember you carrying it around. Mine is the Mandalorian symbol.
Nice.
Hell yeah. And the Kingdom Hearts key.
Is there a new one coming out?
Hell yeah.
Is it out?
No, it's coming out. It was announced about a month ago.
Oh, man, we're going to have to smash that. Because you still got that PS4, yeah?
Hell yeah.
I think we're going to have to organise a play date.
I agree. I totally agree. We need to play some Kingdom Hearts. We've also got... there's an open world Star Wars game in the projects at the moment. Not being produced by EA. Hell yeah.
Isn't this the pickup of the Bounty Hunter one?
I hope so. Like,
you know, it was like when he went to the sub-levels of Coruscant. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, it's like 1411 or something. It's like a number.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a number. That's like the level that they go down to. And he's like a bounty hunter. Because I remember seeing the hype for it a couple of years back, and I was like, this is what we want. This is the Star Wars we've asked for. And then they go, no, we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and just cancel all games because I don't know why.
Yeah, well, that's gay.
Yeah, isn't it just?
It is. Because, oh, no, that, I shouldn't say that, but I did. But you got to remember, we're Australian and we make fun of everything. All right, well, Tom, I'm going to leave this one up to you then. What question do you want to ask our geek listeners this week?
Oh, mate, you put me on the spot.
I know. Literally, I think of these things like 5 seconds before I ask them to.
Oh, are you serious?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so something geeky. Okay.
Yep.
What is your ultimate bit of memorabilia you could get from any movie, any cartoon, any comic book, just like something cool that you have on your shelf?
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, what is your holy grail of sci-fi memorabilia?
Yeah, like, you know how everyone wants like a really cool like lightsaber light, like night light. You've seen that, you're like, yes, that is something that I really want.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking just like something cool that you can use as like a talking piece.
No, that's cool.
If you pick it up, what I'm putting down.
Yeah, no, I do. So simplify your question. What is the one piece of geek memorabilia from any form of medium that you want to have on display in your home?
Well, yeah, if you want to take out the nuance.
Okay, well, any form of memorabilia that you want to own, period.
Yeah.
And then give us a reason why as well. So, again, if you've got it, even if you do own it, tag us on Instagram or Facebook with the hashtag geeky question. Love to check it out. Speaking of which, though, there was something on Docking Bay 94, which is a Star Wars forum on Facebook. A guy had posted a similar question asking, you were invited to go visit George Lucas at Skywalker Ranch, and he told you could take one thing from Skywalker Ranch. What would it be? My answer was the deed of ownership of everything there. Because that's one thing.
Yeah. See, that's well meta.
Hell yeah, it is.
All right. So, assuming you're not an absolute, you know,
idiot like
shoebridge. So don't be a shoebridge is basically the rule of the question as well. Like, that's a little caveat at the arse end. Don't be a shoebridge. What would you take? I think that's fair.
Yeah, that's it. But in all honesty, for me,
actually, you know what I'd really want?
What?
Like an original picture of the whole crew. Like, he's got to have something like that, right?
I believe there was a picture of them at the Star Wars Identities exhibition that I went to not long ago. They had original prints by Ralph McQuarrie there for his conceptual art for all the movies he was a part of.
Oh, yeah, no, I changed my answer. I want, like, the original painting of the, you know, the thing that you see when you go see a poster. I want the original painting of that, the hallmark that they use for that, the...
Oh, that would have been awesome. Oh,
yeah, that's my answer.
I know we're trying to wrap up, but there was one thing. During the day...
This wrap-up's going for about 10 minutes.
I know, but this is just reminding me of something I wanted to share. So one of the blokes that I work with at... it's like a workshop that I go to half of the week. His main business is he's a picker. So he goes through, like, you know, tip shops and... like secondhand stores and all that sort of thing. He gets his hands on things and he either restores them and sells them or, you know, holds on to them until they accumulate in value. He makes quite a bit of money for himself. But do you know what he got me today? I'm so stoked. What? So back in 1997, Star Wars was being re-released. I think 97 would have been, when they did the 20-year anniversary box set.
Yeah, because I remember going, I'm pretty sure I went and saw that at the movies with my uncle when they had like the nude Jabba and Han scene in it.
Yeah.
And like the AT-ATs in the background and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So KFC used to do like kid meals. I don't know if they still do. Like Happy Meals, like that you get at McDonald's. And they had a bunch of Star Wars stuff coming out at that point. And they had this little Death Star. It was about the same size as a stress ball that used to shoot these little cardboard TIE fighters.
That is awesome.
I know. I had one of those as a kid, and he comes. Oh, he's like, oh, I found this thing. It's. I know. You really like your Lucas property. That's how he calls Star Wars Lucas property. And he goes, I found that. And do you want it? I'm like, yes, I do. It's a Death Star.
Yeah, I can see it now. Hey, Josh, what will you give me for this? It's worthless, mate. I'll give you, 50 cents. Yeah, good deal. Secretly, Shoebridge is going there, you moron. the final piece is mine.
And with that, the final piece will be mine. Thanks, Tom, for sitting with me and having a chat over the last few days. And
I wish I could say it was a pleasure, but that'd be a lie.
No, it was more than that.
It was good fun. Sorry, mate. That was harsher than I meant it to be.
I know, but so I can assume that you're going to be a regular occurrence on this show.
I sincerely hope so.
Good, because it is a bit of fun. It's something that brings a bit of light in our dreary lives. That's not tabletop gaming.
Well, I made you lose your head, so it's a good day.
Yeah, that's it. All right, thanks again, Tom. Thanks again for listening, guys, and hope you enjoyed today's show. And you know what? As I say every day, keep sucking those oranges, and good night. You've been listening to the Game of Lives podcast, presented by Joshua Shoebridge. The podcast is produced by The Hobby Desk Australia and is a creation of Joshua Shoebridge. Hosted on Simplecast.com, all rights are reserved, copyright for 2019. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on wherever you listen to your podcasts. And once again, thank you for listening.